commented on it. His comments on it were kind of unique. And it is the NFLPA survey. It is it, just for the second time. So last year was the first time they did this. For the second time, the NFLPA has, that's the NFL Players Association, for those that don't know, has released a team report card based on surveys from 1,700 total players. And the categories included on those surveys include treatment of family, food and nutrition, the training room and training staff, locker room, team travel, head coach, and ownership. So players were asked to grade each team based on those specific categories. One that was really interesting to me was treatment of family. How well these franchises treat their players' family members. And a lot that went into that was like daycare facilities, how they're put up in terms of apartment and housing, things like that. But I thought that one was pretty interesting. So going through that at the top of the hour, we did this last year as well. Again, just the second year that the NFL Players Association has done that. And number one on this list was the Miami Dolphins. The top-ranked team in the 2024 NFLPA survey or report card was the Miami Dolphins. Steven Ross is the highest-graded owner with a near-perfect score. Pretty interesting there. A lot of players seem to enjoy playing for team owner Steven Ross. I am really having a tough time with this microphone. I apologize. You keep hearing ruffles in the show here. I am having a tough time with this microphone. I don't know why today is the day, but this thing just does not want to stay still. With that being said, talking NFLPA, that survey. As I mentioned, Miami, the Dolphins, had the best NFLPA report card, again, straight A's all the way around. Really interesting. They got A's and A pluses in their weight room. Get an A plus in ownership. As I mentioned, they were first there. They ranked first in team travel. They ranked first in weight room, training staff, training room, and food and cafeteria. Pretty interesting there. We'll kind of skip a few here. Minnesota, who was really, really highly ranked last year, they remained very highly ranked. They finished second. In third was the Green Bay Packers. Apparently, the Packers' workplace continues to improve annually with this year's upgrades, including new meeting rooms and an underground parking facility. So making some upgrades there. Rounding out the top five, Philadelphia was in fourth. Apparently, players do feel crammed in the back of the plane, apparently. So their big issue was travel. That's where the Philadelphia Eagles, they got a C on team travel. That's where they really kind of took their biggest hit. And also in treatment of families. I feel like that's a big one for me. I don't know. Obviously, I can't put myself in the player's shoes here, but treatment of family has to be a big category, I would imagine. And then rounding out the top five on the report card here was the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars had the biggest climb in the NFLPA survey. They opened a brand new facility this year, and owner Shad Khan was ranked highly for willingness to invest. So he was ranked an A in terms of ownership. He ranked third in terms of ownership. Let's go down towards the bottom because that's where you've got some interesting ones. At number 29, 29 out of 32 was our New England Patriots. And keep in mind, while the Patriots franchise has had a ton of success over the past two decades, this is the second straight year where they've been pretty low on this Players Association report card. It says the Patriots feel that the team management has not been keeping up with the changing times. On top of that, the weight room ranks last both in quality and size, and owner Robert Kraft receives low grades for a lack of confidence that he'll invest in the team facilities. Very interesting. The grades all around for the New England Patriots. Treatment of families. They got an F minus. I didn't even know you could give out an F minus. I thought F was as low as you could go. But the Patriots got an F minus. You don't like to see that. They were ranked 30th out of 32 there. In terms of food and cafeteria, they actually were decent here. They ranked 15th with a B minus. Same thing with nutritionalist and dietitian. They were 20th overall there. The locker room ranked 20th. They were a C minus there. Their training room ranked 22nd. Their training staff ranked 25th. Their weight room ranked 32nd. That was dead last. Their strength coaches, they ranked 31st, second to last. Their team travel situation was a D. They ranked 24th there, which I don't really understand that one. Doesn't Robert Kraft have those two ginormous private jets? I'm not sure I follow that one there, because Kraft has like those two big planes that we've seen. On top of that, their head coach, Bill Belichick, was ranked B-, 27th out of 32. And then finally, ownership, which is also pretty interesting. They ranked 27th out of 32 there as well. So interesting that the players overall not thrilled with their experience in New England. And I'll mention that J.J. Watt commented on this, and he said, in terms of surveys that players have to take and fill out throughout the year, the two that they take the most seriously, and this is coming from J.J. Watt, just one player, one small sample size, but he said they obviously take voting for team captains very seriously, and then the other one would be this NFLPA report card. So they seem to be pretty accurate. Again, I'm not in these facilities, but they do seem to be relatively accurate. I also thought that it was very interesting that the Kansas City Chiefs were even lower than the New England Patriots at 31st. That's where the Kansas City Chiefs were. Apparently, the bright spot for the Chiefs is Andy Reid, the highest-rated head coach in the NFL, but just about every other category, they were really low. Beyond that, players identify major issues in quality of care, out-of-date facilities, and owner Clark Hunt, who ranks as the least willing to invest among all owners. The two-time back-to-back Super Bowl champions did not rank very high. In terms of treatment and families, they got a D+. They were 18th. Food and cafeteria, they ranked 26th. Nutrition and dietitian, they ranked 31st. Locker room ranked 28th. Training room ranked 31st. Training staff was the worst at 32nd. The weight room was 23rd. Strength coaches 27th. Team travel 27th. And ownership last 32nd. Whereas the head coach was first, A+, first out of 32. Pretty interesting stuff there from the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, team that has won now back-to-back Super Bowls, but it's not all great, I guess, for the Kansas City Chiefs, because some interesting grades. I mean, the ownership grade is really kind of interesting. That's really just asking a player to comment on one or I mean, in some cases here, a small group of people in terms of their owners. The only A pluses we saw were the Dolphins and Vikings. A's that we saw there were Eagles, Broncos, Jaguars, Ravens, and Packers. But some notable Fs, the Chiefs there down there. Another F was Steelers and Cardinals in terms of owners, and the Patriots. Robert Kraft, I mean, you very rarely hear bad things coming up about, you know, from former Patriot players about Robert Kraft. But apparently via this survey, it's not all great. It's not all great. So certainly a very interesting player survey. The Patriots really didn't do well for pretty much the second straight year. A lot of Fs, treatment of family, not great. Weight room, not great. And ownership, apparently. Head coach was based on Bill Belichick, so we don't have kind of an updated grade for the new regime, we'll call it, in Gerard Mayo. But an interesting survey, again, kind of some of those teams getting the highest graded in terms of the NFLPA report card. The Dolphins up there, Vikings, Philly, Houston, Green Bay, San Fran was up there, Jacksonville, Las Vegas was up there, Buffalo was up there as well, and down at the bottom, the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs, which Kansas City, very strange. You would think it's all good in Kansas City, right? They've won two Super Bowls in a row. Same thing with the Patriots. They've won six in the last, 25 years? But not all good, according to the NFLPA report card. I always find it pretty interesting when that thing comes out. But that's enough on the NFLPA report card. If you want to check it out, very accessible. It's all over social media right now. Also, you can just go on to the NFLPA's website as well and check it out there. But with that being said, let's talk some more off-season NFL stuff. The Jets have given the okay to quarterback Zach Wilson to seek out a trade. They have granted Zach Wilson's agent permission to speak with other teams about a potential trade. General Manager Joe Douglas told reporters about that today. So Zach Wilson, we know all about his tenure with the New York Jets. I don't really think his situation was really handled all that well, but not a great first three seasons in the NFL. Former first-round pick, number two overall by New York, played three seasons with the Jets. Really wasn't expected to play a whole lot this year with Aaron Rodgers coming into town. And that ownership group and Joe Douglas apparently has seen enough, and Zach Wilson can seek out a trade. I would imagine wherever he goes, it would likely be for a backup job. I would be very, very shocked to see Zach Wilson land a starting job somewhere, but I still do believe that there is a possibility that he could make a very, very solid backup quarterback for a team, but we'll have to see as Zach Wilson has been granted permission to seek out a possible trade in the offseason here. Talking more across the NFL, we talked a little bit yesterday about franchise tags as teams have until March 5th to franchise tag some of their big-name players. That includes Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman. But Chris Ballard today at the NFL Combine made it clear that he is their top free agent and they're hoping to work out a free agent deal, a long-term extension with Mike Pittman. But Ballard said he is not going anywhere. So if they're not able to work out an extension, Mike Pittman will likely be getting the franchise tag from the Indianapolis Colts if a deal is not reached by March 5th. Pittman coming off the best year of his four-year career, played 16 games, had 109 receptions, 1,152 total yards, and four receptions. That is his second out of four total seasons that he has reached over 1,000 yards, just 26 years old. Big receiver, kind of has the build of a Mike Evans, not quite the Mike Evans type, but a very solid receiver. And Chris Ballard in that Indianapolis Colts organization hoping to keep him around. I am having more troubles with this microphone. I apologize. More in the NFL here. Keeping you up to date with some more wide receiving news. The Kansas City Chiefs have cut Marquez Valdes-Scantling. MVS, a great postseason for MVS, but they are going to save $12 million against the salary cap after releasing MVS, who's coming off a year where he played 16 games with the Chiefs, had a 315 yards, but a very solid postseason. Obviously, had a big catch in the Super Bowl and a touchdown. And finished that game with 20 yards on three receptions. This move comes after the Chiefs informed cornerback L'Jarius Sneed that they are prepared to use the franchise tag on him, and they're open to talking about a trade if no long-term deal is reached with L'Jarius Sneed, but they're trying to clear out some money because it does look like they will franchise tag L'Jarius Sneed, and there are a few candidates out there that could be a franchise tag and then trade candidate. Tag and trade candidates, and that includes L'Jarius Sneed if Kansas City is not able to work out a long-term deal. On top of that, Brian Burns for Carolina, who's likely going to get the franchise tag from the Panthers, and then T. Higgins, who also is going to get the franchise tag. That was announced earlier this week, but there still is the opportunity that they could trade any of those guys who are on the franchise tag. Last bit of wide receiving news here, though. The Los Angeles Rams have re-signed their wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson on a one-year contract. That was announced earlier today. The 29-year-old veteran wide receiver out of Florida, coming off a solid year where he played 16 games with the Rams, had 371 yards and four touchdowns. One of his better years for sure. Started his career in Kansas City, then went to Baltimore back in 2022, and is going to be staying with the Rams for another season after a solid year with Matthew Stafford in that offense. Finally, last bit of NFL news before we hit a break. FedEx has bailed on the Washington Commanders. FedEx served its naming rights ties with the Washington Commanders, ending their agreement 2 years early by taking advantage of the team's change in ownership. So as we know, the Commanders Field was called FedEx Field. That is no longer, as the remaining 2 years were worth approximately $15 million in revenue to Washington. The Commanders, who on Tuesday announced a $75 million upgrades to the stadium now no longer have a sponsor, but as FedEx has officially bailed on the Washington Commanders, so that stadium is going to get a new name here in the near future. I'm going to hit a break here and try to figure out this microphone issue, and then I'll come back here. We'll talk a little MLB and NBA. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Ticket on 101.1 FM, AM 1540, and WADK.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is Steve Lombardi, Executive Director of the East Greenwich Chamber of Commerce. We have been the business voice of East Greenwich since 1929. Our mission is to promote business development and foster cooperation between business, government, and the community. We are committed to helping to make East Greenwich a better place to live, work, play, dine, shop, and do business. The Chamber provides many benefits such as networking events, townwide gift certificates, business education opportunities, and lobbying efforts. The Chamber promotes many community events such as our Main Street Strolls, East Greenwich Restaurant Week, the Greenwich Odeum, the EG Farmers Market, and many others. Membership in the Chamber says you support the business community and the community as a whole, and that you want to be part of moving us forward. For membership information, contact me at 401-885-0020 or steve@eastgreenwichchamber.com. You can also visit us at eastgreenwichchamber.com.
Your friendly officers here at Arrest a Pest serve and protect area homes, families, and businesses. Arrest a Pest has been providing the fix since 1986. No matter the pest, it ends in arrest. Arrest a Pest today. Call 738-3766. Pests, you detest them, and we arrest them. Hey, who loves you, baby? ArrestaPest.com. 738-3766.
Humphreys Building Supply, 1540 WADK, and Mix 99.3 present the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce Business of the Week.
Mentor Rhode Island is the unifying champion for quality youth mentoring in Rhode Island. Their mission is to close the mentoring gap and ensure the state's youth have the support they need to succeed at home, school, and ultimately work. Go to mentorri.org for more information.
Think, be, and support local. Start with this business of the week.
At Humphreys Building Supply, they know a thing or two about living and building in Rhode Island. They've been doing it for over 130 years. Their commitment to this community sets them apart from the big box stores. They are here to provide you top quality products and the personal service you've come to expect. So whether you're looking for doors, windows, paint, or are considering a kitchen redesign or an addition to your house, you need to visit one of their locations in Tiverton at 590 Main Road or Middletown at 8 Cottington Highway or Humphreys Paint Center at 750 Aquidneck Avenue. Online at buildwiththeh.com.
Midtown Oyster Bar, your number one choice for the freshest seafood and the largest raw bar in town. Perfect for casual snacks and cocktails or a formal dining experience. Steps away, the Surf Club offers cozy comfort anchored by their brick oven pizza and handcrafted cocktails. Midtown Oyster Bar, 345 Thames, the Surf Club, 337 Thames. Two exceptional Newport waterfront experiences. Check out MidtownOyster.com.
Get the latest news 24/7 at WADK.com. 1540 WADK. WADK.
All right, back here on the Big Ticket. Great news here. The microphone has been fixed. That was an incredibly frustrating first segment. I was trying to organize all my notes, my computer, my phone here, while keeping my left hand on the microphone so it didn't move on me. But it is fixed. The situation has been handled, and we're ready to go here with the second segment here. Talking a little NBA. It was announced today via Shams Charania of The Athletic that apparently Drew Holiday is expected to be among the 12 members of Team USA's roster in the 2024 Olympics. Insiders tell Shams that team officials have valued Holiday's two-way ability, point of attack defense, and dynamic playmaking. As it sits right now, there are some players that are considered to be locks for Team USA. Right now, they have six players that apparently are locks to make Team USA. Drew Holiday being one of them, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, and Jason Tatum. So two Boston Celtics there. But it is very interesting. I mean, certainly not a knock on Drew Holiday whatsoever. But there is a lot of very, very talented guard candidates. I went through a few weeks ago what my Team USA 12-man roster would look like, and my guards were Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, and Tyrese Halliburton. Obviously, leaving off Drew Holiday, the committee does not feel the same way, and Drew Holiday has been much higher valued than I originally had him at. I mean, again, I'm not knocking the decision at all. He's a veteran, a great defensive player, but certainly not the dynamic scorer or athletic or shooter that some of the other guards in this player pool are. I mean, also on the list is a guy like Trae Young, Damian Lillard, as I mentioned, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, like young guys, and Drew Holiday apparently is considered to be in kind of that same class, that upper echelon, as the Jason Tatums, the Kevin Durants, the LeBron James, that seem to be locks for this team, this 2024 Olympic team. So we'll have to see. I mean, obviously, right now, that all that is speculation. But Drew Holiday, considered to be a lock for this summer's 2024 Olympic team. As for the Boston Celtics, an interesting game last night. I was up at the Garden for this one. The Seas take care of business against the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, the Sixers without Joel Embiid as he recovers from that knee injury. Seas go on to win 117-99. What was interesting about this, and Kendrick Perkins, I hope you watched this game. I hope you're listening. I hope you tuned in. Because the Boston Celtics last night got outshot from three, which is rare to see. Philly shot 14 of 42. Meanwhile, the Boston Celtics made and attempted the least amount of three-pointers that they have had all year long. They were 5 for 22, shooting 22.7% from beyond the arc, and they still managed to get it done. Kendrick Perkins, where you at, buddy? Because KP, obviously, as we know, was the one that called Joe Mazzulla, said he had a bird brain, and said that if the three's not going in, the Celtics are destined to fail because they live or die by the three. Well, KP, Celtics played a good team last night, a playoff caliber team in the 76ers, obviously without Joel Embiid, of course. I'm not discounting that. But they only shot 22 three-pointers, only made 5 of those 22 three-pointers, and still walked away with an 18-point victory over a playoff team, Philadelphia 76ers squad. So, Kendrick Perkins, you said they couldn't get it done if the three ball wasn't falling. Well, I'd love to hear your explanation today, because C's took care of business. There was times in this game where it was close, especially there headed into halftime at 1 point or 2 points or a couple points there. Philly had a lead, but it never stretched very long, and the Celtics always were able to combat it. A great game from the Jays. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined for 60 points. JB does so while shooting 11 of 14 from the field. He's the first person to score 30 or more points for the Celtics without taking at least 15 shots since Paul Pierce did it. Pretty impressive. As I mentioned, 11 of 14 from beyond the arc, from the field, I apologize. Jason Tatum, 9 of 20, but he also added 11 rebounds and 8 assists. Just missed a triple-double there. Kristaps Porzingis poured in a double-double of 23 points and 12 rebounds as the Celtics win their ninth in a row. Next up, they'll be back at the Garden for a tough test. A tough test going up against the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks have lost two in a row coming into this one against Eastern Conference opponents, but still a solid team with dynamic players, one that we know very well in Kyrie Irving. Right now, they sit eighth in the Western Conference, 8 games back from first place. They're 7-3 in their last 10, but as I mentioned, they have lost two in a row. The C's, as I mentioned, 9 in a row. That is by far the longest winning streak in the NBA. OKC is the only one close as they have won 6 in a row. But the C's right now in the Eastern Conference hold a 7.5 game lead over the second place Cleveland Cavaliers. To put that in perspective, Minnesota right now is tied for first in the Western Conference, and they have a 7.5 game lead over the 7th place Sacramento Kings, whereas the Celtics have a 7.5 game lead over the 2nd place Cleveland Cavaliers. Milwaukee sitting in 3rd, they're 8.5 games back. They've won 3 in a row, though, under Doc Rivers. We'll talk about him in the final segment. They're 1 game behind Cleveland. Sitting in 4th is the New York Knicks. They're 11.5 games back, 3-7 in their last 10. They've obviously been dealing with some injuries. Julius Randle goes down, OG Anunoby. Jalen Brunson was banged up there for a bit. But they're staying afloat. Knicks sitting 4th. They're 11.5 games out of 1st place. In 5th is the Miami Heat. The Heat starting to surge. They have won 5 in a row. Jimmy Butler, after a big win over the weekend, said, you know what time it is. This is around the time the Miami Heat start to turn it on. Just last week, they were sitting in 8th. They are now up to 5th. They're 13 games back of first place. Philly going the opposite direction of Miami. They've lost 2 in a row. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They sit in 6th. They're 13 games back. They're tied with Miami. Miami owns the tiebreaker. Right now, your play-in teams in the Eastern Conference would be Orlando and Indiana. Right now, they're tied for 7-8. And then after that, you got a big dip when you get to the Chicago Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks. I think that there's a possibility. I was going to talk about this. The Toronto Raptors, keep an eye on them. That's kind of my hot take for the second half. Toronto, obviously rebuilding, trying to build around Scotty Barnes. Keep an eye around that team because Atlanta just lost Trae Young. They could be in for a tough few weeks here. I think there's a chance. They're right now 4 games behind Atlanta for that final play-in spot, that 10 seed in the Eastern Conference. Out west, as I mentioned, Minnesota and OKC locked up in a tie for first place. After that, you have Denver sitting in 2nd. They are 2 games back in 4th, but really 3rd, is the Clippers, 3 games back, followed by New Orleans, 6.5 games back, and Phoenix, 7 games back. Your play-in tournament out west, as it sits, would be the Sacramento Kings, followed by Dallas. Sacramento and Dallas are just a half game apart. Then you have Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers, who right now are both 10.5 games back. Golden State has 1 less win, but 1 less loss than the Lakers right now, but they both sit 10.5 games back. It seems like those two teams are destined for a play-in matchup, kind of at that 9-10 spot in the Western Conference playoffs. Obviously, we'll have to see a lot of games to be played, but it does seem like those kind of veteran squads right there are kind of headed for a collision course in the play-in tournament. Let's talk a little baseball here quick before I hit a break. The Orioles added some veterans to their minor league squad. The Orioles have added some veteran help, signing infielder Colton Wong and right-hander Julio Teheran, 2 minor league deals, both of them 33 years old. Colton Wong won a gold glove at second base with the Cardinals in his career, and Teheran had an all-star appearance with the Atlanta Braves, so both of them joining the Baltimore Orioles, who are one of the younger teams in the MLB, adding a little bit of veteran leadership over there. We talked a little bit about Alek Manoah last year. Alek Manoah, who not last year but the year before, had a Cy Young quality year. Then flash forward to last year, where he was absolutely atrocious. They had to send him down. It didn't even seem like he really wanted to be with the team. And he's back at spring training and a rocky start once again. Again, this is a guy who 2 years ago, Alek Manoah, who's just 26 years old, he looked like he was going to be the face of the franchise. In 2022, he pitched in 31 games, was 16-7 with a 2.24 ERA. And last year, he was 3-9 with a 5.87 ERA. Well, his spring got off to pretty much the same start 2022 did, as Manoah hit three batters, and threw just 17 of his 38 pitches for strikes. He worked 1 2/3 of an inning of innings. Ended up giving up four runs in a loss to the Detroit Tigers. A rough outing, man, for Alek Manoah. You hate to see it. What a collapse, because he's just a shell of what he was back in 2021, where he had that Cy Young caliber season. A weird situation. We saw the first of Shohei Ohtani. He hit a home run in his Los Angeles Dodgers debut, as well as Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who had his first appearance on the bump for the Los Angeles Dodgers today. He struck out all-star Marcus Semien, and he went two solid innings for Los Angeles. He did look pretty good. I will have to give it to him there. Still a lot of baseball to be played. And last bit of MLB news, Twins expect Byron Buxton back in center field after 2 seasons of knee troubles. He hasn't played center field for the past 2 years due to 2 consecutive knee surgeries, but he's feeling healthy. He is back. First time he's played center field in 554 days. Once a highly touted prospect, now more of a veteran in the MLB, but Byron Buxton going to be back in center field this year. The name of the game for him is hopefully he can stay healthy. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here, going to come back and wrap up the show with the bold takes. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
With all of the stress in the world, the last thing you need to worry about is what to do after a car accident. That's why you call Carl's Collision Center. We have 2 convenient locations in Newport and Fall River, and make the whole process easy. When you choose Carl's Collision, you can trust your vehicle is in the right hands. Our technicians are trained by many of the manufacturers, with certifications from Mercedes-Benz, Tesla, Ford, and many others. Carl's Collision Center is building it new all over again. Visit us at carlscollision.com.
Here's another healthy tip from Newport Hospital.
The Norman Prince Spine Institute at Newport Hospital treats spine disorders that are some of the most complex issues within the human body. At the initial consultation, a physician will conduct a targeted evaluation to determine the source of your pain. Then, go about formulating a plan to resolve it. Go to goodback.org for more information.
Brought to you by Newport Hospital.
Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan. For 32 years, Corrigan Financial's been serving our community, helping families and businesses, much like a financial architect, establishing and designing a comprehensive framework that offers direction and support. This wealth of knowledge is personified through their professional staff and strengthened through continued investments in technology to power their processes and systems. With more than $1 billion of investment assets and 11 CPAs on staff, Corrigan Financial maximizes their clients' financial well-being by combining tax planning with investment strategy. So whether starting your career or just starting to look forward to your retirement, Corrigan Financial can help. Arrange a free consultation to discuss a financial planning process that leads to greater decision-making where clients can anticipate rather than react. Corrigan Financial. 32 years of helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
A healthy weight, more energy, and smooth, regular bowel movements. Three things everyone strives for.
It's me, Chuck Norris. There's one really important thing we don't talk about enough. Our health. Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We're told these are normal signs of aging. So working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick.
Morning Kick is a revolutionary formula combining 10 different supplements in one. Probiotics that help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on earth. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, focused, and help manage stress.
Anybody can achieve great health regardless of their age.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com. Use code FAST or text FAST to 511-511 and claim 40% off today.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee.
Text FAST to 511-511. Morning Kick.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
From Newport RI, 1540 WADK and WADK FM 101.1.
All right, back here on The Big Take in our final segment. So it's time for The Bold Takes, where I take a player, a team, and a stance. Before I get into my first player tonight, just want to talk a little bit about some sad news here. Prayers go out to the Wakefield family. Stacy Wakefield, the widow of Red Sox pitcher, former pitcher Tim Wakefield, who passed away in October. After suffering a seizure following surgery for brain cancer, his wife, Stacy, has passed away. That was announced yesterday from cancer. She had been battling cancer at the same time as Tim Wakefield. It just has to be so incredibly hard for that family. So thoughts and prayers go out to them. Hope they're doing all right. And just a tragic, tragic event for them. So prayers and thoughts go out to the Wakefield family. Awful, and hope they're doing all right. But let's get into it here with my first player tonight. My first player tonight is Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was asked why he's been so available to play this season. Kawhi has actually put together a great season, and I mean, he's really the big reason why I've been kind of cringing, because if you remember correctly and you listen to the show, back when the Clippers traded for James Harden, I said that there's no chance that they'll even be playing in the Western Conference Championship. Well, the Clippers have strung together some pretty good months here, and now, of course, sits fourth in the Western Conference, playing good basketball. They even had a blowout win against the Boston Celtics mixed in there. That really made me feel bad. But Kawhi has played and started in 51 games this season. Obviously, that's big time up from past couple of years. I mean, where still about a quarter way done with the year, and he's already basically matched his total of the previous 2 years. Like, the previous 2 years, he's only played in 52 games. He's already at 51. So the reporter asked him why he's been so available this season. And Kawhi, as we've seen him in media before, a little bit of a robot in terms of personality. He said, "Not tearing my ACL and not tearing my meniscus is why he's been so available." Pretty self-explanatory. Yeah, I don't know, just try to do that every year. Just try not to tear your ACL and tear your meniscus. Pretty easy, right? You'd be fine if that didn't happen. But it is good, on a serious note, it is good seeing Kawhi back. Kawhi is fun to watch anytime he's out there, and he does seem to be playing like he was, you know, that year with Toronto, and playing like he was early years with San Antonio as, you know, one of the best players in the league. So it's good to see kind of him come back into form. Speaking of Kawhi, my second player tonight is his former coach, Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, over the past month or so, has just used every single excuse in the book. He's used tons of excuses as to why he got fired from Philadelphia, why he never won a championship with the Clippers, why he struggled to start off his career with the Milwaukee Bucks. And now, recently in an interview with NBC, he was talking about Joel Embiid and their playoff loss to the Boston Celtics last year. And he said he should have gotten the ball to Embiid more often last year. He said, maybe they were better. I thought game six was our game. I didn't think Joel got the ball enough. Trust me, it was for him to get the ball. That was the game plan, and he didn't get it. I don't know how healthy he was. So basically, Doc Rivers said, yeah, like, I wanted to get him the ball. That was my game plan. And, hey, if we had got him the ball more, we probably would have won that. We probably would have won that series. Oh, but also, I don't know if he was 100% healthy. Like, he, in the same paragraph, in the same three sentences, he probably rattled off three excuses within that one paragraph. Within that one quote, he probably rattled off three different excuses right there. Here's the first one. He didn't know if he was healthy or not. The second one was, it was my game plan. I always wanted it to get the ball into Joel. That was excuse number two. And then excuse number three was, well, the players just didn't get the ball to Joel enough. So in one quote, he's able to squeeze in three different excuses. It's crazy. This guy is just, he's exhausted every single excuse in the book. Doc Rivers, my second player tonight. My third player tonight, a little update on the Kansas City Chiefs super fan, Chiefsaholic. You might remember we talked a little bit about Chiefsaholic. It might be about a year ago now, but he was the super fan who dressed up like a werewolf and referred to himself as Chiefsaholic at all the Kansas City Chiefs game. Apparently, he robbed a bunch of banks, was on the run for a while. Well, he was in court today, and he has pleaded guilty to bank robbery, money laundering, and transporting stolen property across state lines. He faces up to 50 years in prison when he is sentenced and is required to pay over $500,000 in restitution. On top of that, he will also forfeit an autographed painting of Patrick Mahomes. I don't know this guy, but just based on everything I've read and heard, I'm going to imagine, I would bet that Chiefsaholic would take the 50 years in prison before he gave up the painting, the signed painting of Patrick Mahomes. That one's the one that's got to sting the most. Like, listen, lock me up for life, but just don't take my autographed painting of Pat Mahomes. Come on, man. Like, I don't know this guy, but I am willing to bet he is by far the most heartbroken about not being able to hang on to that autographed painting of Pat Mahomes. That one just seems like kind of a, like, you didn't have to do that to him. You could have just let him keep the painting. He's already going to jail. You're already getting restitution from him. Let the guy keep his painting. Like, he's a super fan. Obviously, he's made mistakes. I don't condone bank robbing, but I mean, the guy's facing 50 years, possibly. Let the guy keep the painting of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that one just seemed like unnecessary. That one was like the we're gonna kick this guy while he's already down type of move. Like, just let the guy keep the painting. Come on. Chiefsaholic is my third player tonight. My fourth player tonight is Mecole Hardman. Because it seems like everyone's coming at the Jets this week. Mecole Hardman, who was a former Jets wide receiver, obviously then signed with Kansas City after things didn't go great in New York this year. And he said that there are no standards on offense, that everyone just does what they want. The quote was, there's no standards there. Everybody does what they want to do. Granted, the defense has more of a stabilized standard with the coaching staff on that side, so the defense has a standard. But the offense is just like, we'll figure it out. It's Aaron's show. Let Aaron do what Aaron does. Then, when Aaron goes down, it's like, we don't know what to do anymore. Well, their punter, Thomas Morstead, did not like that comment, and he took to Twitter and he said, be careful getting information from disgruntled former employees. Getting beat out by a rookie free agent after being guaranteed millions of dollars is tough to deal with. Entitlement is a killer of opportunity. You have to earn it every year. On top of that, Jets added on to their punter. You rarely see that, players coming to the aid of their punter, but they did. And Jets players, on top of that, went as far as to say, this is Kenny Yeebo, he went as far as to say that at one point, they believed that Mecole Hardman possibly leaked the Jets' offensive game plan to the Eagles. In that game, the Eagles still lost that game. But the quote was, Mecole Hardman is tripping. He ain't talk about his own work ethic and how the Georgia Eagles got our game plan, alluding to the fact that there's a bunch of players on Philadelphia from Georgia, where Mecole Hardman came from, and people in that locker room, apparently, with the Jets, Sauce Gardner even tweeted it and then deleted it. People within that Jets locker room believe that Mecole Hardman leaked offensive game plans to the Eagles ahead of their matchup that week. So it's been a rough week for the Jets in terms of the news cycle. Yesterday, we talked about Deion Dawkins basically trying to pick a fight with the entire Jets defensive line. Now we have Mecole Hardman possibly throwing game plans and, you know, giving game plans, strategy away to the opposing team. Not great. Mecole Hardman, my fourth player tonight. My fifth player tonight is Owen Lloyd, because a dramatic scene unfolded on Saturday night at the start of the last session of the 2024 ACC Swimming and Diving Championships. NC State's Owen Lloyd touched the wall in over 14 minutes. He won the ACC title. In celebration of his victory, Lloyd mounted the lane rope, eventually falling into the lane of his teammate and the runner-up Ross Dant, who was 2 seconds behind. And they threw him out. They took the title away from Owen Lloyd because they say he interfered with another swimmer. That was the official declaration of the results, as that was why he was disqualified. So he basically mounted the lane rope and eventually fell over into the other lane, but he was just celebrating his win of the ACC championship, the ACC swimming tournament. And because of that celebration, he got disqualified and got that win stripped from him. Apparently, you can't have any fun in college sports anymore. Like, that's just basically where this is coming. We had the court storming debate where people are getting angry with college campuses storming the court after a big basketball win. Talked about yesterday how an umpire threw out a college player for doing a bat flip. And now we have this. So apparently you just can't have fun anymore. But Owen Lloyd, if you're listening, you're probably not. I don't care what anybody says. You won that championship. You're my champion, my man. But apparently you just can't have fun in college sports anymore. It's the no fun league. Owen Lloyd, my fifth player tonight. My final player tonight is Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard had a pretty lengthy interview with SI's Chris Mannix. And in that interview, he basically kind of alluded to that he's lonely and bored in Milwaukee. He basically said that all he does is go to practice, go to the game, go home, and watch videos. That's it. He doesn't have family there. He doesn't really do a whole lot. And on top of that, in that same interview, he said, when talking about the Bucks, he said, "I thought we were going to be how Boston is right now, and that has not been the case." Hey, listen, man, it's different over here. Not everybody can be Boston. We play defense over here, Dame. But Dame, yeah, it seems like he might be having a little bit of buyer's remorse. Remember, this is the same guy that said he wanted to be traded from Portland, and now he may be regretting that because it doesn't seem like he's having a whole lot of fun. Damian Lillard, my final player tonight. All right, my teams tonight. Yesterday, I had all big-time favorites. Tonight, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm going all big-time underdogs. Tonight, in a little Big East basketball, you know I'm taking PC, baby. I'm taking PC on the road, plus 11.5 against number 5 Marquette. Marquette, 21-6. Hey, one of those six losses was against PC this year, so why not go with Providence again? I'm going PC, plus 11.5. That's on 7 o'clock on FS1. I'm going with PC as the underdog in that one. In a little NBA action, I'm taking the Pelicans, plus 6.5 in Indiana against the Pacers. New Orleans is looking for 4 in a row on the road. They've been playing some good road basketball, and I'm still a little bit annoyed with the Pacers after their Monday night loss where I bet on them. So this might be a little bit of a spite pick, but I'm taking the Pelicans at plus 6.5. And then later on tonight, I'm taking the Grizzlies at plus 12.5 in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. T-Wolves are on a back-to-back, and on top of that, last night, Anthony Edwards was helped off the court with an ankle injury, so he is questionable for tonight. Ant is a little bit banged up. That's their best player, so I'm going to take the Grizzlies plus 12.5 on the road against the T-Wolves. To wrap that parlay up, I'm taking Providence College plus 11.5. The New Orleans Pelicans, plus 6.5, and the Memphis Grizzlies, plus 12.5, an all-dogs parlay. lock that bad boy in, get yourself some walking around money, and support those local businesses. All right, my stance tonight, we talked about court storming yesterday, which is pretty ironic because in Indiana last night, we almost had pretty much like the opposite of court storming. Indiana had to evacuate their stadium when fire alarms started going off right after Wisconsin tied the game. So right after the game got close, I feel like this could be an experiment. I feel like this, like Indiana might have known that this is going to be a really close game and it could have came down to a court storming type of event. And maybe someone in Indiana said, well, let's try to pull the fire alarm and see if that stops the possibility of a court storm. I think this could have been an experiment. That's my kind of my guess, my kind of conspiracy theory, but I guess we'll never know. My second stance tonight is we never really talked about the Cam Newton thing, about how Cam Newton at a kids 7-on-7 tournament that he hosts a lot of, he got jumped by three guys. Never a great idea to jump a former athlete, and on top of that, a 6'5", 270-pound former athlete, because Cam Newton, my man, held his own. He was going 3-on-1, and he held his own. But LeSean McCoy actually had a great comment, because he commented in that really the ones that lose because of this Cam Newton stuff is the kids, because maybe Cam Newton is a little bit more reluctant to hold this tournament next year. So who really loses out? The kids do. So I like that comment from LeSean McCoy. But yeah, we never talked about the Cam Newton thing that went viral. It seems like kind of a bad idea to try to fight a very athletic. And also, he's not very old yet. Like, he's probably around 40. I don't even think he's 40 yet. Very athletic, 6'5", 270-pound former athlete. Yeah, that wouldn't go well. I'd opt out of that fight. And my final stance tonight, Kirk Goldsberry on social media. If you're a basketball fan, you're not following Kirk Goldsberry, you should. He has a lot of very interesting stats he throws out there. But we have the possibility that the 2020s, a whole decade, could never have an American MVP in the NBA. And it's very unique because in the 1950s, every MVP was American. In the 60s, every MVP was American. In the 70s, every MVP was American. 80s, same thing. In the 90s, the only non-American was Hakeem Olajuwon. In the 2000s, everyone except for three. Three out of the seven were American. You had two, Steve Nash, and one, Dirk Nowitzki. And then in the 2010s, every MVP was American besides Giannis in 2019. But flash forward to the 2020s. So far, we've had Giannis, Nikola Jokic twice, and Joel Embiid, not a single American. And oh, by the way, the front runners for MVP this year are Jokic, Doncic, Giannis, and SGA, who are all not from America. And Victor Wembanyama looks really, really good, and he looks like he could win an MVP in the near future. And oh, by the way, he's also not American. So there is a very, very, very good chance, like it's all on Tatum, basically, that the 2020s may not have an American MVP in the sport of basketball, which Americans tend to dominate. But with that being said, that's going to do it for me here tonight.
1540 AM, WADK Newport, powered by BD Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Tiverton. WADK, the voice of Newport.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell today announcing he'll leave the leadership role in November.
I stand before you today, Mr. President, and my colleagues, to say this will be my last term as Republican leader of the Senate.
That will cap McConnell's career in Congress, earning him the title.